And it's been an incredible week. And here we are again. You know, even though our feast is coming to winding down, we still got a few more homes as we expected. And so I'm looking forward to it. But we want to continue. Let me come right here, Pastor. I'm continuing our teaching with Sarah, about the life of Sarah. And you know, she left us something to really pay attention to, look closely at. You know, her and Abraham as role models. You know, that you can really learn a lot from them. One of the biggest things was their hospitality. And I've seen that a lot this week. I mean, going to the different homes and everybody making it, it's just been incredible. Can you imagine the day that you'll be with him forever and ever? What a time that's going to be. So, yes, amen. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and read I want to read it through the chapter, because then we'll come back and take it apart. Because sometimes, man, we just fail to, we get a few verses and we get, you know, sidetracked a little bit. So, and we tend to leave y'all hanging. So we don't want to leave anybody hanging tonight. So we're going to read it all, and we'll come back and take it apart piece by piece. In Genesis 23, in verse 1, and Sarah lived 127 years, the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Now, I thought about that this week. We're going to break it down. It's hard not to. But it's just, I think about Sarah, you know, and Abraham, you know, how valuable she was to him. And I think about maybe if she got married, just say around the age of 15. The scripture doesn't say. But I'll just say if she does, 15. Can you imagine being over 100 years married? From the time she died, Abraham was married to her. That's a long time. So, very valuable to Abraham. We're going to see that in the scripture here a little bit later on. But just it was a thought that, you know, why I had it. And Abraham rose from beside his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I am a foreigner and a stranger among you. Give me property for a burial site among you, so that I bury my dead from my presence. And the sons of Heth answered Abraham, saying to him, hear us, my master. You are a prince of Elohim among us. Bury your dead in the choices of our burial sites. None of us withholds from you his burial site from burying your dead. So Abraham rose and bowed himself to the people of the land, the sons of Heth. And he spoke with them, saying, if it is your desire that I bury my dead from my presence, hear me and approach Ephron, son of Zor, for me. And let me have the cave of Machpelah, which he has, which is at the end of his field. Let him give it to me for a complete amount of silver as property for a burial site among you. And Ephron dwelt among the sons of Heth. And Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the hearing of the sons of Heth, all who entered at the gate of his city, saying, no, my master, listen to me. I shall give you the field and the cave that is in it. I shall give it to you in the presence of the sons of my people. I shall give it to you. Bury your dead. And Abraham bowed himself down before the people of the land, verse 12, verse 13. And he spoke to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, saying, if only you would hear me, I shall give the amount of silver for the field. Take it from me and let me bury my dead there. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying to him, my master, listen to me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between you and me? Good question. So bury your dead. And Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out the silver for Ephron, which he had named in the hearing of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, currency of the merchants. Thus the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave, which was in it, and all the trees that were in the field, which were in all the surrounding borders, were deeded. And Abraham, deeded to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the sons of Heth, before all who went in at the gate of his city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, before Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. Thus the field and the cave that is in it were deeded to Abraham by the sons of Heth as a property for a burial site. So it's a really great story. Short chapter. Only 20 verses. We'll get through that tonight. But it's just, you know them 20 verses? There's a lot of information in there. Especially when you sit down and you take it apart piece by piece. You know, that's a lot of stuff to look at that we hadn't, I don't know, maybe you may have seen it before. Some things I've never seen. So let's see what we got going on here. First of all, the story takes kind of, I want not to say a twist, but remember, we went up there to sacrifice Isaac. He left home. He left home. To the place where Yahweh will show you, in the land of Moriah. And we know where we left from there. So he leaves Sarah. And when we touched on that, it was told not to go back to, he leaves Sarah at home in Beersheba. Because that's where he was. Where he planted the tamarack tree. And he leaves 3 days. And, you know, just the journey was there. But he don't tell how much longer he was there. So the scripture doesn't give us that. And now we see that Abraham, after he comes back to his men that were waiting for him, he goes to Beersheba. Now, I don't know. The scripture doesn't tell. The scripture, the Bible is clear that in Devarim 29:29, that the secret things belong to Yehovah. It's not going to give us all, because somewhere, at some point in time, Sarah leaves. And because she dies, where? In Hebron. We're going to see that, because we said that in Kiriat Arba, which is Hebron. And this is mentioned all over in the scriptures. This ain't the only time that's mentioned. Kiriat Arba, is Hebron, is mentioned quite a few times, I found, during my studying time. But she leaves, so I don't know whether they missed one another on the road together, but we're going to see that Abraham has to go to her where she's at, because she's dead now. He got informed that his wife's died. So Sarah lived 127 in the years of the life of Sarah, and Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And like I said, being married for over that amount of time, it's very hurtful for Abraham. He loves his wife. There's no different than everybody else here that has wives and husbands. You love your spouse. And if you, maybe you get a chance to get a future spouse, you love them too. But it's just the idea that, thank you, babe. It's like the pressure's on when you get here. At home, you feel good. When you get here, it's like it's a whole other level. But anyway, we see that he comes to mourn for Sarah. Now we know that mourning, all this stuff takes time. Because when you can go look in scripture. I mean, when somebody died, that was just, I remember years ago when we was kids, we did it for 2 days to wake somebody. But you, in scripture, man, this thing sometimes went on for a long time, this process. Especially, you know, being married that long. Now, he could have married her younger. I don't know. The scripture doesn't tell us. But I know for a fact, I just know for a fact, but it's been over 100 years. And they've been together. So this has been a very long time. And Abraham rose up from his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, now the sons of Heth, Heather's H2845. The word there is terror. So these are really not, they're not Abraham's people, because he's in a foreign land, and they're more like enemies. But he's humble to them, because obviously they've been watching him for a long time. We know Abraham's made this journey, and I'm sure they heard stories about him, how he slaughtered the king when he went and got Lot. So Abraham is no slouch of a guy. They know who Abraham is. So he's well respected, because we know because what he says, he's going to say in a little bit, you're a prince of Elohim among us. It comes from the root word H2865, hatha, to be shattered, be dismayed, be broken, be abolished, be afraid. Now, Abraham's not out there with all his men. At least the scripture doesn't say. We know that he goes back home. Maybe he come back with all his entourage. We don't know. But we know the first time he only has a couple of people with him up there in Hebron, after Sarah died. So maybe he's just a scattered few. And look, you in the hand of a large crowd of people, you might feel a little, this eerie feeling come on you. Even though Yehovah promised him the land, even though he's the right owner, we're going to see for the first time he actually buys property. He buys his own property. Kiriath Arba. It's a city. It's H7153, city of Arba. Early name of the city, which after the conquest was called Hebron. Now, I don't know if anybody checked that out. What is the conquest? What is he talking about here? See, this is the little things that's hidden in, little gems that's hidden in the dirt, so to speak, that we got to go dig up and find out, because I don't know what conquest he's talking about. Well, this is future, what about to happen, because remember Caleb, give me this mountain. This is where Kiriath Arba. Arba was one of the, hang on, greatest men among the Anakim. So this is up in this area, but we hadn't got to that yet. But just to let you know geographically what we're looking at. We're talking about, well, with Joshua. No, they had to conquer this mountain. We've got to that when we read about Caleb. Give me this mountain. I want it. We were promised. We were 40 years old when Moshe told us about it. Now we're 80 years old, and I'm still as strong now when he told me. So he waited all this time. Remember when we covered that last year? Just in case y'all forgot. Now hold y'all spot. I'm going to do the changing, but y'all can hold y'all spot right there. And Joshua, if you want to write it down, Joshua 14 and I'm going to start at verse 13. Yehoshua then blessed and gave Hebron to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. So Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he followed Yehovah Elohim of Israel completely. Look at verse 15. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from fighting. Just so you know, it's in the scripture. That way, if anybody say, well, where that's at? There you go. Look in Shoftim, Judges. Judges chapter 1, verse 8. And the children of Yehuda fought against Jerusalem and captured it. Now, when I read that last night, I'm like, why is Yehuda fighting Jerusalem? We're brothers. But you got to go read the story. You got to go read the story. Because it sounds like brothers are fighting right here. And captured it and struck it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. And afterward, the children of Yehuda went down to fight against the Canaanites who dwelt in the mountains in the south and in the low country. And Yehuda went against the Canaanites who dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba. And they struck Shimshai and Ahimeen and Tamai, the tree giants of the Anakims. I just wanted to point that out. You know, when you, when we're reading this, when you're going, when you do your private time, you have to go. I'm gonna tell you what I do. It just, and it really helps out. You got to go hit your maps. Where's Kiriath Arba? Where's Hebron? Then you start seeing the connections where everything is at. Then you, it'll start, your puzzle will start coming together a lot easier, especially when you, especially when you're up here behind the podium. But so it, look, and this stuff takes time. Because I didn't know Kiriath Arba. I didn't know Arba was the main giant, but he was. So this is going to be a little more like a history tonight. Tomorrow the preaching will move you. But we have to see where we're at. We have to see where we're at. Because preaching moves you. Ah. Oh boy. Now Hebron is H2275. It's association. And Hebron was also, it was a person. It was a descendant of Caleb. So you got to go, like I said, you got to go dig through all that stuff and you'll find all this information out. And let's see, verse 4. I am a foreigner and a sojourner among you. This is what we were. We've been foreigners and sojourners for so long. And now, you know what? It's not really not a bad thing anymore, because that's what we once were. But now you're children of Elohim. Your sons and your daughters to him. Man, I tell you, this, you're no longer, the scripture says you're no longer a foreigner and a stranger. So we're going to get to that. We're going to deal with foreigners and strangers, because foreigners and strangers, unless you've been adopted, you ain't going to make it into the kingdom. You're going to have to be related to this, one of our patriarchs, one of the sons of Yaakov. You don't have to be by blood related, but you got to be adopted somewhere in the family. Whether from Benjamin, whether from Yehuda, whether it's from Issachar, you have to be bought into the family. All right. And Abraham rose from his dead, beside his dead, and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, "You know that's a sad day in Abraham's life. But you know what? This all comes to us. We mentioned about how Abraham had fear about dying. You know, and Yah took him through that process. He said, "Look, I'm going to show you." And we see all through Scripture. Death is a real thing, and it does come to us all. But should we fear it? Not at all. Because we know someone who died already for us. And that, like we mentioned, like we heard last night, that is the only way. There's no other way. Unless we live long enough to see him come, return. Until then, we know what we face. It's part of reality. I can't get out of it. You can't get out of it. It doesn't matter the age. Because look, I had a cousin, 20-something years old. Gone. My brother, one of my youngest brother on my mom's side, barely mid-20s, gone. So age is, you know, when it comes to that part of life, it's just a number. You know, it's what are we doing with our time while we're here? One thing we should be doing is this, tonight, as a family, on Shabbat, gathering, learning of him. That's no place I'd rather be right now. Look, what the world's out doing their thing, we're going to hear and do our thing. Because why? We've been commanded to do this. That's the thing. Give me property for a burial site among you, so that I bury my dead from my presence. Now we see the sons of Heth, what they're in. They're in the graveyard business. They got the burial sites. Abraham needs a peace. But he don't want, look, one thing about Abraham, notice, he had inside information. I believe he had inside information. Will Mac never know, but I believe he had inside information about this property in Machpelah. And we didn't look at. Because why he specifically asked for this spot? He could have asked for any spot. But he wants this spot. And it's precious to him, because why? He's about to bury his wife there. And he knows it's going to be expensive. But can you put a price on your wife? That you've been married for all these years? who finally bore your son, your only son? You can't put a price on that. Me and my wife, I tell all the time, we talk about children all the time. I said, boy, we'd have met 20 years ago, there had many little mom and pops running around. I'd be like Maynard when he comes over here with his tribe. I tell you, we talk about it all the time. I always tell a pop, he needs a little spider running around helping him in his garden. Oh. So look, that's what I'm saying. So you can't put a, one thing about Abraham, he's not slouched when it comes to being money to worry about the price. He knows it's going to come over market. You pay, look, when you want something bad enough, when it comes for Yehovah, does it matter the price? Does the price scare us? Not when it comes to him. Now, when it comes for you and I, you know, our personal stuff, like just the other day I went to boat stuff, and I seen them lithium batteries, and I seen the price on them. I said, I need the cheaper ones. I told a girl, I told Adam, I said, the price scares me. I said, no. I would like to get them, but the price scares me. So, but this we're talking about something much more valuable than batteries. We're talking about a spot for his wife, that he loves his wife and love. That was a big eye catcher for me. And verse 5, and the sons of Heth answered Abraham, saying to him, hear us, my master. They're calling Abraham master. Really? The respect level. That's what that was, the respect. Why? He's humbling himself before them. He didn't go in there boasting. He's showing humility. So and they know about it. His reputation speaks for himself. He said, you are a prince of Elohim among us. You think they recognize the authority? Because they know. They don't want to start trouble with Abraham. I can tell you that. As much as they might have, he might be outnumbered, his numbers don't scare Abraham. He says, bury your dead in the choices of our burial sites. None of us withholds from you his burial site from burying your dead. Now, I don't know if they dealt with coffins back then in Abraham's time, but I've been in a parlor. Look, you got your $2 burial coffins, and you got your high-dollar ones. What you think Abraham's looking at when he said, take the choices of your burial site? He ain't looking at, I'm looking for the $2 one, not Abraham. Okay. Abraham, he knows what he wants for his wife. He wants the best. Like she would be living, he still wants the best for her. And that's the way we should be, guys. We still should want the best for our wives, regardless. And Abraham rose, verse 7, and bowed himself to the people of the land, the sons of Heth. The one that just they got called master is bowing down himself? Yes. Yep. Showing humility. Humbly. Going before them. We can learn a lot. It's so important that we have to have Abraham going through all this. And then you'll read about this later on all through Scripture. He's mentioned several times throughout all the Scripture. You can't get away from this. I wouldn't. How can you teach anything else? And he spoke with him, verse 8, saying, If it is your desire that I bury my dead from my present, hear me and approach Ephron, son of Zoar, for me. Now we got Zoar here. Another player, H6714. Zoar, his name is Tawny. So I got to look up Tawny. I don't know what Tawny is. Tawny is of an orange and brown or yellowish brown color. So that's what Tawny is. I learned something. But you don't know until you go to sit down and got to pull up. Because why? They had to live up to their names. You see, people had to live up to their names back then. So Tawny, which, okay. And let me have the cave of Machpelah, which he has, which is at the end of his field, let him give it to me for a complete amount of silver as property for a burial site among you. Now, Abraham, this ain't the first time, I don't believe this is the first time he saw this spot. I believe he had inside information from Yehovah. This is a special place in Machpelah. Machpelah is H4375. It's double or portion. Comes from a root word, H3717, kafal, to double, fold double, or double over. Very important. Very, very important. Why? Because, I don't know if anybody's seen that. Y'all want to take a guess how many people's buried there? Besides Pastor, you probably seen it. Eight. I'm going to help y'all out. Eight people. Because why? When you got double, and you fold it double over, then you, two and two is four. Thank you. And you double up four, you got eight. Anybody know the players? I'll give you one, I'll give you two. Abraham and Sarah. Anybody else? Isaac is buried there. Yaakov buried there. Rivka is buried there. Leah is buried there. That's six. Raquel, we got Raquel. So that's six. We need two more. Anybody? You got to start doing your homework now. It ain't just for those who speak and do the teaching. I think he had inside information that, according to what I can find in all my research, Adam and Eve is buried there. Adam and Eve. So you think he wants this spot? Yes. You think he's willing to pay the price for it? Yes. That's why you get double, double fold, and doubled over. Eight. Very significant. What we learn about the number eight? New beginnings. See, this is where this road leads you down, but you got to be willing to sit down and be a student. That's it. And let you know, I got to sit there. Yesterday morning, my wife said, "You getting up that early?" Yes, I need to get up. Because if I don't get up, I got too much to do, and I can't, if I don't have that time, I'm not going to be prepared. So this, I thought this was very great stuff. Well, we can see that. Verse 9 and 10, let me see. All right. Let me read verse 10, and we're going to pause there for a second. And Abraham dwelt among the sons of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the hearing of the sons of Heth, all who enter at the gate of his city, saying. Now, we got to look at this gate. Now, I don't know if this is the main topic throughout the three chapters, but I find this is very important that something should take a look at. Because when go back one chapter, chapter 22, and let's look at let's start by verse 14. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Yireh, as it is said this day. On the mountain Jehovah provides. Boy, did he. And said, by myself I have sworn, declares Jehovah, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, that I shall certainly bless you. And I shall certainly increase your seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. Boy, that's a lot of family. And let your seed possess the gate of the enemies. Enemies. Look at that. What is the gate of the enemy? Where's Abraham? Where he's buying property at? At the gate. He went to Machpelah in the hometown of his enemies. I don't know if y'all catching that. Hold on. Go to chapter 24. What a prophetic that Yahweh spoke upon Abraham. In chapter 24, verse, it's down there a little ways. I know I'm going to start at verse 58. So they called Rivka, because we know, because Sarah's dead, We need another patriarch that's about to rise up. Of course, we got a young girl, Rivka, that's about to be married. And I'm not going to go through the whole story, but let me just read this. And they called Rivka and said to her, "Are you going with this man?" And she said, "I shall go." Because why? Abraham sent his servant. You'll hear about it tomorrow to go get a wife for his son, yada, yada, yada. So here we go, Rivka, are you going to go? Because they want to keep Rivka back. And so he said, well, let's leave it up to the girl. Let's see what she says. She said, no, I'm going to go. And they called Rivka and said to her, are you going with this man? And she said, I shall go. So they let go Rivka, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rivka and said to her, let our sister become the mother of thousands, of 10,000, and let your seed possess the what? The gates of those who hate them. What do you think they're fighting overseas? What do you think they want? I'm not saying this is the only spot, but they want this spot. But they can't have it. Why? Because Abraham had the deeds. We're going to read the end of the chapter. He had the deeds. He's got the right. And Abraham's descendants have the right. Where is he at? He's at the gate of the enemy of his enemies. And they're calling him master. Man, what a prophetic word to speak to Rivka, that you're going to possess the gate, let your children possess the gate of your enemy. Now think about that all over there, because you know, not another spot they want. Of course, they want the Dome of the Rock. It's two different spots. At first I thought that's what it was, but it's two different locations. Machpelah and the Dome of the Rock, two different locations. That's where they think Solomon, you know, where the first temple was of Solomon. But anyway, Abraham's got this deed, right? How we sing that song? In the enemy's camp. He's got a spot in the enemy's camp. Ain't that something? Oh boy. I don't know about y'all, but it screamed out to me, because why? This gate of the enemy, we're gonna see more of it. We ain't finished yet. Now we're gonna see in Shoftim in Judges, literally the gate of the enemy that somebody took. Let's go to Judges, the very first chapter. Judges 1. Let me make sure. No. Judges 16. I'm sorry. For some reason, Shimshon's been coming up in my study time. In verse 1, and Shimshon went to Ahaz and saw a woman there, a whore, and went into her. And the Ahazathites saying, Shimshon has come here. So they went round and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city, and kept silent all night, saying, in the morning, when it is daylight, then we shall kill him. Look at verse 3. Now Shimshon lay until midnight, and rose at midnight and took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts. Literally took the gate of the enemy. Let me finish reading. And pulled them up with the bars, about 4,000 pounds, 3,500 pounds, 4,000 pounds, they guesstimate. Pulled up the gate and the posts. Amazing. Put them on his shoulder and took them to the top of the hill with faces where? Hebron. See how it's in the scripture? It's there. All the information is there. It's all we want. So you can see literally they possess the gate. We today possess the gate of the enemies. We are descendants of Abraham. Because why? Yeshua said that. That's why this whole fuss was in John chapter 8. We Abraham's seed. He said, if you were Abraham's seed, you would do the works of Abraham. All this ties in. Gate is H8179, Shahar. It's mentioned 374 times. In Matthew 16:18, Gates is G4339, Pule. This is what we were talking about last night. In Revelations 21:12-27, which we're going to read to that, the word is Pulon. Now I had to see why two different definitions of the word. Well, let's go read it. In Matthew 16, in verse 18. And I say, this is the words of our master. And I say to you that you are Kepha. And on this rock I shall build my assembly. And the gates of Sheol shall not overcome it. Why? Because it's been deeded. The enemy can't take it. Now, who built that gate? The one we follow, we should be following right here. He's in control of the gate. Because why? Because he says in Revelation, I have the keys to the kingdom. If you got the keys to the kingdom, you got the keys to the gate. I can promise you. I thought about that last night when we were leaving Brother Chad last night. Him and Sister Linda was closing the gate. How you know there come a time the gate of our life can close? But when you're gonna read here in just a little bit, these gates are never gonna close. But whatever's unclean is not gonna enter in. Man, the enemy can't come in when we get to that part of the story. And I shall give you the keys of the reins of the heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in the heavens. And whatever you loosen on earth shall be having been loosed in the heavens. Did I say that right? And I shall give you the keys of the reign of the heavens, and whatever you bind on earth shall be having been bound in the heavens, and whatever you loosen on the earth shall be having been loosened in the heavens. Why? Because what do the keys represent? The authority you have. You have authority over the enemy. Look, when he comes to your gate, he has no authority. You own the keys. Now, you can do like Adam. You can submit yourself. And if you do that, then you're under the care of the enemy then. And we know where that leads. But as long as you're in the gate, behind the gate, stayed in the gate, there's safety. The door is a gate. Because this is how I found it. When the pastor told me last night to go see where the word pulon, it's a Greek word, where they found the first time mentioned in the Hebrew. The word I found in Genesis 49:43-19 is H6607. It's Pathak. And the word, the English word there was door. That's how I had, so it took me a little time to find it on the phone, but hey, you learned some stuff. I learned this last night. That's how you can do it. You can take the Greek and go looking at the Hebrew, see where it's first mentioned. So, this stuff is really good. Let's go to Revelations. Now, the difference between why they use the gates, G4439 in Matthew, then G4440 in Revelations chapter 21 and verse, we got to start at verse 12. Because one is used as a feminine and one is used as a masculine. The only thing I don't know how to figure out is how they're speaking feminine or masculine. So I just got to take the information what I have and just go look it up. Okay, it's using the feminine right here. I guess the grammar for the Greek, I don't know how to
the rules of the Greek.
The rules of the Greek, there you go. But one's using the feminine and one's using the masculine. So it's no comparison. Because watch here. Let's read these gates here in Revelation when this time comes. Now you're gonna see the masculine. Why are you gonna see why it's so much bigger? That's the best I can explain it. Because when it's using the masculine, it's much bigger than what it's using the feminine. Feminine, something like that. Feminine, yeah, you know what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly. Verse 12 in Revelation 21, and having a great and high wall, having 12 gates. I wonder why 12. And at the gates, 12 messengers. And names written on them, which are those of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Right there, we need to be grafted into one of them. So I don't know what tribe you come from. It's To get in, you had to be related to one of them, grafted in into their family. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. You think about that scripture. Eye has not seen it. Can you imagine this place when it comes? All we have is just what we have with reading, but our mind can't grasp how beautiful, how big this place is going to be, how beautiful it's going to look. And the wall of the city had 12 fountains, and on them were the name of the 12 emissaries of the Lamb. And he who spoke with me had a golden measuring rod to measure the city and its gates. We're still talking about gates. And its wall. And the city lies four-cornered. And its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the rod 12,000 stadia. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. According to this, it's approximately 1,377 miles. So I'd imagine that's like going from here to Indiana, maybe a little further. But this is no slouch of a city. This is a big city. It's going to hold a lot of people. Oh boy, y'all knows what he's doing. And the structure of its wall was jasper. See how big this is? That's why it's in the masculine sense. It's so hard to explain. I got to let the word explain it to me, that I can just read it to you. Just so you got to pick your mind and put it there, what the city is going to be like. Your eyes are, can you imagine seeing it for the first time? Your eyes are just, you'll be in awe. And the foundation of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation, jasper. The second, sapphire. The third, agate. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardox. The sixth, ruby. The seventh, crystallite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysophase. The 11th, jacinth. And the 12th, amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. I can't even imagine that. I don't even know what that looks like. If it's 12 pearls, well, each one of the gates is a single pearl? But we got 12 gates? Can you imagine? I like that song goes, I can only imagine. You know, what it's going to be like when you're able to walk through them gates and not only see the emissaries, but see the one who gave his life, the reason why we're here today, taking part of Shabbat on unleavened bread. Man, we need this. And the 12 gates, the 12 pearls, each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the street of the city was clean gold like transparent glass. I've never seen that before. How can I say what a day that's going to be? All what you've been waiting for, this city is coming. And I saw no dwelling place in it, for Yehovah El Shaddai is the dwelling place and the Lamb. Remember what Pastor was talking about, the Lamb? It's mentioned so many times in Revelation. Here you go. We're still talking about that Lamb. And the city had no need of the sun, nor of the moon, to shine in it, for the steam of Elohim lighting it, and the Lamb is its lamp. I tell you what, the sun, the moon, the star, whatever they're going to have there, you ain't going to worry about it. Because what we're using for today? To tell time, the Moedim. Right there, we know what time is going to be. There's no need for it. No need for time. You'll be with him forever and ever. Just. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the sovereigns of the earth bring their steam to it. And its gates. Here we go. We're still talking about the gates. Like I said, I don't know if that was the main topic, but in chapter 23, that was the main topic for me. Shall not be shut at all by day nor by night. And its gates shall not be shut at all by day. For night shall not be there. Why? Because he's light. because he's there. There's no need for the darkness. No more Koshek there, because he's light. Only that we face darkness because he's not there. We learn that. But when he's there, there's no darkness at all. There's not going to be no need for the sun, the moon, the stars, because the Lamb is the lamp. The gate's not going to be shut. Why? There's no need to shut the gates. There's no thieving going on there. There's no stealing going on there. There's no robbing going on there. So how we know that? And they shall bring the esteem and the appreciation of the nations into it. And there shall by no means enter into it whatever is unclean, neither anyone doing abomination and falsehood. That covers it all right there. So when you see all that shiny gold and glass, that thought of taking some of that won't even cross your mind. Because none of that's going to be entered. Because why? He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. So that you won't even be thinking about that. So none of that's going to, so there'd be no reason to close the gate. Like I saw somebody close the gate last night. Why? Because that's nighttime. Because you want to close the gate for security. You ain't got to worry about it. Security is already provided for when you get there. There's no need for security. You'll be with the one that he is security. But only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life has a qualifier. Your name has to be written. My name has to be written. Unless I don't qualify, they're going through these gates. So you think we got work to do? Every day. Every day we got to be on our P's and Q's. And hey, does he know you're going to slip? Yeah. He knows because you're human. That's what we are. We make mistakes. That's how you learn. But we don't keep making the same mistake. You take a hammer and you mash your thumb one time. I can promise you won't be doing it a second time. Why? You learn from your mistake. Hopefully. unless you're somebody that loves pain. We'll find out tomorrow. We'll see. Let Brother Rob take the hammer. As you can see that the gate at Abraham, it was prophesied, you're going to possess the gate of your enemies. And even the Rivka told him about this gate. In Isaiah, that's why I had to go read the story, because there's so much stuff that this ties into. In Isaiah chapter 60, he said, all that was in the Torah portion, every last bit of it. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the esteem of Yehovah has risen upon you. For look, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But Yehovah arises over you, and his esteem is seen upon you. I'm so thankful that Abraham obeyed to give us this chance, this opportunity to be here today. And the nations shall come to your light, and sovereigns to be brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. All of them have gathered. They have come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are supported on their sides. And I think about my children. This is the first time I talked to my son in over 2 weeks. He finally made it back to South Carolina. I was so happy to talk to my son today. But he's still afar. According to Scripture, he's still afar. I have a daughter still afar. This is what he's talking about. One day, I'm believing, but they're going to come in. Your sons and your daughters are coming. Your grandchildren, my grandchildren. This is not only for us. Our family is much bigger than that. Supported on the side. Look. Then you shall see and be bright, and your heart shall throb and swell, for the wealth of the seas is turned to you. The riches of the nations come to you. A stream of camels cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praises of Yehovah. All the flocks of Kedar are gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth serve you. They come up for your they come up for acceptance on my slaughter place, and I embellish my esteemed house. Who are these who fly like a cloud and like doves to their windows? Because the coastlands wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, to the name of Yehovah your Elohim. Why? Because there's none like him. We just sang the song a little while ago. This is about him. This is why we gather. Because remember, like I said the other night, that really stuck with me. Why have you come? Yeshua told it you just came to kiss me on the cheek? Is that what we come here, just to kiss him on the cheek? Or do you come because you love him, because you love your master? The sons of foreigners shall build your walls, and their sovereigns serve you. For in my wrath I have stricken you, but in my delight I shall have compassion on you. And your gates shall be open continually. You know what that ties in back to? Revelations. They are not shut day or night. Well, we know that there won't be no night because he's there. To bring you the wealth of the nation and their sovereigns in procession. For the nation and the reign that do not serve you shall perish. And we just read that. It's going to happen. And we don't want to see it happen. He don't even want that to happen. He said, I will that none perish. But it's going to happen. That's the sad reality part of it. That do not serve you shall perish, and those nations shall be utterly laid waste. The steam of Lebanon shall come to you, cypress, pine, and the box tree together, to embellish the place of my set-apart place, and I shall make the place of my feet esteem. And the sons of those who afflict you come bowing to you, and all those who despise you shall bow themselves at the soles of your feet. We're all going to, come a point in time, we're going to bow before him, whether you like it or not. You will bow before him. You ever wondered Goliath, when he was slain? The scripture said he fell face forward. I wonder why. Because every knee is going to bow, in heaven and on earth, before him. And where did David go? Go and cut his head off. That's what he done. Just go read the story. Why not fall backwards? It doesn't say that. He fell face down. And the sons of those who afflict you shall come bowing to you. And all those who despise you shall bow themselves at the soles of your feet. And he shall call you City of Yehovah, Zion of the set-apart ones of Israel. Look, all those your enemies that's been hounding you and all, trust me, there come a time. Yehovah lift you up. That's the thing. We don't want to be puffed up. That's why we had to take the leaven out this week. We don't want to get puffed up. But when he raises you, your enemy is going to bow. What would it, even though Abraham was bowing, what did we call it? Master. Instead of you being forsaken and hated, so that no one passes through you, I shall make you an everlasting excellence. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a joy of many generations. Many. Oh, we got many generations. And you shall suck the milk of the nation. What? Oh, suck the milk. I mean, you're gonna get the good stuff. And shall suck the breast of sovereigns. I mean, they'll come bowing to you. And you shall know that I, Yehovah, your Savior and your Redeemer, am the Mighty One of Yaakov. Boy, let me tell you, when I went, this like popped out of nowhere the other night when I'm reading. I was like, man, how does tie in the top? There you go, because that's what happened at the gate. We know judgment goes on at the gate. Everything happens at the gate. And that gate also means door. So where do you meet somebody? We you know, while down here we old fashioned, we go by Papa Stop or anywhere we go. It might say come in. Or I might say come in. But respectfully, a lot of people, what do? They meet him at the door. Because that's the gate. That's the gate to your house. And look, where now spiritual side, where's your gate? Right here. Right here. Right here. Right here. We have to protect these gates. Only you can be the protector. My set apart spirit can be the protector of those gates. Because why? Once it goes in. And it goes down, and if it gets planted in there, and if it erupts, if the sourdough fills up, it's coming out. It goes in sour and comes out sour. I don't know where he found that word at, but I've tasted stuff sour. I just never tasted stuff sour. Oh boy, ain't that right, Pop? Verse 17, instead of bronze, I bring gold. Instead of iron, I bring silver. And bronze instead of wood, and iron instead of stone. And I shall make you officers peace, and your magistrates righteousness. Well, we need that. Violence shall no longer be heard in your land. Oh, I can't wait for that day. That's why, hey, look, I went fishing that week with Brother Chad and the people from Colorado. I have to say, these are the best people I've ever fished with. Not one foul word came out their mouth. They were just sweet and nice to be. I told them, ladies, y'all can come back and fish with me anytime. I said, look, matter of fact, y'all don't have to go with Brother Chad. The ladies can fish with me. We can leave at 8 o'clock. And if the men want to leave, they can leave at 5:30 in the morning. It's fine. We'll catch a second boat. Let me tell you. Because why? There was no foul language going out in the land. It was quiet. We had a wonderful time. This is what he's saying here. Violence shall no longer be heard in the land. This is coming. This is, by the way, this is future stuff. Neither wasting nor ruin within your borders. And you shall call your wall deliverance and your what? Gates what? Praise. See how this all ties in? Praise. Gates all over in the scripture. No longer is the sun your light by day, nor does the moon give light to you for brightness. But Yehovah shall be to you an everlasting light, and your Elohim your comeliness. What a day that's going to be when that city comes down. No longer does your sun go down, nor your moon withdraw itself. For Yehovah shall be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. You know that coming down low. I love everybody here, but let me tell you something. When I lose one of y'all, it's heartbreaking. But I can tell you, there come a time, and it won't be heartbreaking no more. We won't be singing "Achy Breaky Heart" no more. We'll be singing "Hallelujah." You made it. Oh boy. And you and your people, all of them, righteousness shall inherit. Now, when I was sitting on my couch, and when I got to this next verse, and it says, all your people, all of them righteous, shall inherit the earth forever. All the people that think they're going somewhere, they better go back and read his Isaiah account. Because he said, you're going to inherit the earth forever. Y'all ain't giving up the land. Because why? He owns the deeds. You get what I'm saying? A branch of my planting, a work of my hands to be adorned. The little shall become a thousand, and the small one a strong nation. I, Yehovah, shall hasten it in its time. That day is coming, and I'm looking for it. It's going to be payday when this day comes. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a sad day for some. Because the scripture talks about a second resurrection. Nobody wants to talk about that. You ain't going to find that on Sunday's message. I can tell you that. They ain't about to preach that. But that's the sad reality of it, though. Nobody wants the truth. That's the problem. You have to fall in love with the truth. That's just the bottom line. I'm going to go back. I better go back to 23. Verse 10, and Ephron dwelt among the sons of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the hearing of the sons of Heth, all who entered at the gate of his city, saying, know, my master, listen to me. I shall give you the field and the cave that is in it, and I shall give it to you in the presence of the sons of my people. I shall give it to you, bury your dead. Now, like I said, when it's free, it's me. That's my saying. I can tell you that. But it's not what Abraham is saying. You know, even though he could have said, yeah, but you know, down the line, we would miss out on the inheritance. Had he just give it to him, look, you know what happened? You know, when after so long, I ain't give you that. So Abraham he knew what he was doing. He was being spirit led for one thing. Yahweh gave him that inside information. Go get that cave. Very valuable. He says, no, my master, listen to me. I shall give you the field and the cave that is in it, and I shall give it to you in the presence of the sons of my people. I shall give it to you, bury your dead. And Abraham bowed himself down before the people of the land, and he spoke to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, saying, if only you would hear me, I shall give the amount of silver for the field. Take it from me and let me bury my dead. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying, my master, listen to me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between you and me? So bury your dead. He knew it was going to be pricey. Mark up the land. But you see, that's the way they done business. Straight up, hey, I'm going to buy it. And the thing about it, he bought it all. Abraham bought, he bought the trees, he bought the rock, the dirt. He bought it all. It's deeded. We're going to see that here. And one thing we don't see is when you're going to get in the English part. I was sharing this with Brother Rob today. I'm just going to jump down to verse 20. I'm going to make this. It says, thus the field and the cave that were in it were deeded to Abraham. But if you read it in the King James, it'll say, made sure. Now, I mean, unless you know what made sure really is when you read it, I wouldn't know that he got the deed to it. So you have to, this is why the Hebrew, the language is so important, but it's taking our time. Why put made sure when it, just leave it at deeded? It makes so much more sense when you got paperwork, you know? But he was trying to get it off a handshake. Now we know in times past, that's the way we done business. We did it a handshake. In Ruth, look over here in Ruth. Ruth chapter 4. And Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there. And see, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. And Boaz said, turn aside, so and so, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they sat down. And he said to the Redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from the field of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech, and I thought that I should disclose it to you. Doing business. Where? At the gate. Buy it back, saying, buy it back, in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you do redeem it, redeem it. But if you do not redeem it, inform me so that I know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you. And he said, redeem it. He said, look, you want the home and all the stuff? You had. I got enough of my own wife. I don't know. He might have said that. But he does. He'll take it. We're going to go to the stories. And Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you shall also require Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, and raise up the name of the dead on his inheritance. And the Redeemer said, I am not able to redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. He might have had some, look, we don't know all the full story behind what's behind the scene. But apparently, look, he wasn't fooling with it. He said, you know what? You have it. He's not willing to tie in some other affairs with his affairs he got going on. Even though he's got the money, the power to. Redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I am not able to redeem it. And this was formerly done in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging, to confirm every word. One man took off his sandal and gave it to the other, as this was a witness in Israel. Now we can see a different, but it's the same process. Even though he's not writing papers, here you go in front, we got 10 witnesses, take off your shoe as a witness. So the Redeemer said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. And he took off his sandal. And Boaz said to the elder, to all the people, you are a witness this day, and I have brought all that Amalek and all that was Kilon's and Mahalon's from the hand of Naomi, and also Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahalon, I have required as a wife, to raise up the name of the dead of his inheritance, so that the name of the dead should not be cut off from among his brothers, from the gate of his place. You are witness today. We can see how this, all this ties in at the gate. That's where you did business. That's basically what, I guess, what I'm saying. In Jeremiah 32, I don't know if we're gonna have, how much time we got, brother? What are we looking at? 13. Oh. Now, when we read this story, I remember Pastor preaching it a long time ago. But it's just amazing that when you read it, who buys stuff in the middle of a siege? What do you say? Go buy the field. And the word came to Jeremiah from Jehovah in the 10th year of Zedekiah, Saul of Yehuda, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. Now at the time the army of the sovereign of Babel besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the guard, which was in the house of the sovereign of Yehuda. For Zedekiah, sovereign of Yehuda, had shut him up, saying, why are you prophesying, saying, thus says Jehovah, see, I am giving this city into the hand of the sovereign of Babel, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, sovereign of Yehuda, shall not escape from the hand of the Chaldean, but certainly be given to the hand of the sovereign of Babel, and shall speak with him face to face, and see him eye to eye. And he shall lead Zedekiah to Babel, and there be until I visit him, declares Jehovah. Though you fight with the Chaldeans, you shall not prosper. And Jeremiah said, the word of Jehovah came to me, saying, see, Hanamel, son of Shalum, your uncle, is coming to you, saying, buy my field, which is at Anathoth, for the right of redemption is yours to buy it. So Hananel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the guard, according to the word of Jehovah, and said to me, please buy my field that is in Anath, which is in the land of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is yours, and redemption, buy it for yourself. And I knew that this was the word of Jehovah. In the middle of a siege, Jehovah told me, buy the field. What? Buy the field? I got a picture on my phone. It's a little joke I saw on Facebook. It said, go ahead and buy the boat. No point in being the richest man in the cemetery. I've been holding on to that, waiting for the right time to say it. Oh, man. Sorry about that. Oh, and I bought the field which was at Anath from Hanamel, my uncle's son, and weighed out the silver, 17 shekels of silver. What did Abraham do? Weighed it out. Paid for it. And I signed a deed, paperwork. Boy, I tell you what, when Yeshua comes, I believe them deeds going to be, look, right here. We own it. All the sons and grandsons and great-grandsons and sons, you name it, going to where we at today. We own it. You got property. and signed the deed and sealed it, took witnesses and weighed the silver and scales, and took the deed of the purchase, that which was sealed according to the command of the law, and that which was open, and gave the deed of purchase to Baruch, son of Neriah, son of Messiah, in the presence of Hanamel, my uncle's son, and the presence of the witness who signed the deed of purchase. What? That's just like Abraham. What is he? He's signing. He's buying the field, buying that cave. Who signed the deed of purchase before all the Yehudim who sat in the court of the guard. And I commanded Baruch before the eyes, saying, thus says Jehovah of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, take these deeds, both the deed of purchase, which is sealed, and the deed which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, so that they remain many days. You know what I believe? And they're still around today. I believe it. I believe when Yeshua comes, who are you? Hold on. How you got this land? Hold on. Let me go. It's right here. I know the spot where it's at. For thus says Jehovah of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land. Hallelujah. Boy, I tell you. That's look, now, there's still some more stuff in there. I'm going to stop right there. This stuff goes on. There's some more stuff with deeds and the gates that you can pull up scripture. Hey, 300 mentioned 374 times? That's a lot of scripture. It's more than just tonight. So I can tell you. One of the other ones was H4668. Mahteah. I can't even, and that's in Jeremiah 20 through 25. You'll see that'll tie in another passage to go read on your private time. So I thank y'all for coming. This is wonderful. It's great, you know, the opportunity to come and to speak about him. And the thing about to speak right about him. That's one reason why you get up and you feel the pressure. Because you want to speak right about him. Because while we have that example when they told him what happened when they didn't speak right about him. We don't want to do that. Now we might fumble a little bit with the words, but I'm gonna get my point across. So it may come out a little funny at times, but it's good for the body. But tomorrow, look, it's like we're going through the feast days, and we're coming here, we got Shabbat service, and tomorrow we got church. Manna. What else are you going to eat? Be happy. Because there's come a time, what does the scripture say in Amos? That'd be a famine for the word. So we got service tomorrow, we got service Sunday, we got service Monday. Manna. I love it. Dig me? Hey, Pop, you dig me? Amen? I thank y'all for coming out tonight. We'll see y'all in the morning. Y'all be